Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alex Italander here, and welcome to the Ostium Sagas. Now, if you're enjoying this series and want more right away, I just wanted to mention that you can get them on our Ostium Network Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. By becoming a supporter at any level, you'll instantly get access to the next 15 episodes in the series. So that's on our Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. Now, I'd just like to thank our 5 most recent patrons for supporting the Ostium Network. Thank you to Death to Komatsu, Daryl Williamson, Descripticon, Virginia Green, and Talon for all your support. We really appreciate it. And now let's get started with the next chapter of the Ostium Sagas. The Ostium Sagas. XXVI. Saga 2. 1666. Part 9. Recorder's note. So as you may have noticed, you haven't heard much from the author who put these Ostium Sagas together, which isn't too surprising since this slim volume just looks like it's in double dutch to him, and he can't make heads or tails of anything. I, on the other hand, as per usual, have lots to say. I like to think I know something about the Great Fire of London, being a sort of local and all that. I mean, I did call the city home for a number of years, and I do remember it being called one of the more devastating events for the country, as well as the city. A lot of historic and important landmarks were turned into ash, including the renowned St. Paul's Cathedral. But as bad as it was, I recall from my reading it didn't raise the entire city by any means. I believe the terrible San Francisco earthquake of 1906 caused more damage, along with all the fires that were started. And I do remember clearly that the Tower of London was most definitely not burned or affected by the fire. It was all more the opposite side of the city. I think London Bridge burned, or at least part of it did. But when they finally put the fire out on that Thursday, there was still plenty of London left standing. So what's going on here exactly? And that's me legitimately asking the question, because at this point I haven't a bloody clue. It's something I'll just have to explore further in detail in the endnotes. Also, there's the little detail Dana Lee mentions about that guy starting the fire. Who's that bloke then? I hope we find out more. Okay, back to the Ostium Saga. Saga continues. It's been 5 months since the great city of London was completely burned to the ground. I panicked and lost it for a little while there, but I know I wasn't the only one. Eventually I got things back together, got my mind going in the right direction again. I was very thankful for the amount of money the Ostium Network had left me with, as by 1666 standards, it was a small fortune, and really helped me through those tough days. I started going from town to town looking for work. I wasn't ready to go back to the place that had been London. I didn't know when I would be ready. There were some tea places, but I just wasn't interested in that anymore. After everything that had happened, I started getting into trouble. Or to be more exact, trouble started finding me. Yep, I'm sure it had something to do with being an Asian woman. People thought they could push me around, treat me like crap. Especially men, and more often than not, those men wanted something more, and weren't at all bashful about demanding it from me, whether I was willing to provide or not. I was also angry, very angry, and it was going to take me a while to figure out why. In the meantime, I let all these people who had problems with me know what I thought of them, with my fists and my feet. I'd gone through extensive self-defense training with the Ostium Network, like everyone else had, and I haven't forgotten any of it. None of them saw it coming or expected it in any way, so I always got the upper hand. Those that were able to put up any sort of fight just made it more fun for me. It only took a few incidents for people to know what was up and to not try anything with me again. Then I'd move on to another town, would have to start the learning process all over again. Eventually I did get a job, as a kind of bouncer type for a guy who ran a bunch of businesses in Oxford, and sometimes needed some protection. That lasted for about a month until I finally acknowledged that I hated what I was doing. This wasn't a job, this wasn't a life. Plus the crying breakdowns made it all too clear for me, and I just left town and started making my way back down to the place that had once been the City of London. It took me 2 weeks to get there, and I needed every moment of it. In the months that have felt like they'd flown by, I'd never asked about London, about what happened after, about where the people went, about whether a new town or city would be built upon its ashes. Because I hadn't wanted to know. Because I'd been too angry. I'd been so angry. I was so angry because I didn't have my own life anymore. I didn't have the life I'd been so excited about. It had been ripped away from me, and now I was stuck in this place in time that I had thought I was just visiting and would be spending the rest of my life in, depending on how long that would last. And there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. I felt helpless. But when I got to the mass grave site that used to be the great city of London, I felt better. A lot better. And a lot less angry. But I wasn't completely fixed. I still harbored some deep resentment for the extremely messed up situation I was stuck in. But that took a seat on the back burner for a while. Because I thought they'd be rebuilding, resurrecting the city from the literal ashes bit by bit. I knew it would take years. Decades likely, but there would be something. There wasn't. There was nothing but ruin and ash and nothingness, and the apparent need for everyone to just forget and move on. How could this be? This was something completely unique. In all my studies throughout history, something, someone had always continued on, and no matter how small a situation, Angkor Wat, Easter Island, Pompeii, Krakatoa, no matter the amount and thoroughness of destruction, humanity would always lick its wounds, heal, and then begin rebuilding once again. What the hell was going on here?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.